He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be righteous. So we can come out of that paralyzed state that we're in. The church is in a paralyzed state as to where we just being excited, being ignited, and that's not where God wants to be. And we continue to look at Romans 8, and it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, this is where we got to walk, saints. Not after the flesh. See, what is the fleshly things? We want things. We want to look good. We want to smell good. We want to go places. You know, we want the finest of the finest. You know, we want to be in the know. We want to be hip. You know, we want to be where we're in the now. When we get on social media, the words that those people use, we want to be right fitting right in there. So we'll look just like them, sound just like them. That's not where God wants us to be. God says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. See, the law that Moses gave us, it was a death sentence hanging on it because nobody could actually live all that. And it was proven back there in that time, and it's still proven right now. We can't live like that. So we have to get out of the flesh as to where we feel everything, we see everything, we smell everything, we touch everything. See, we can't use the five senses. That's not the spirit realm. That is the sense realm. That is the flesh realm. So we have to come out of the flesh realm where we hear, see, speak, touch, smell, taste. We have to come out of that realm and we have to get in the spirit realm. And that's where Jesus Christ is. That's where God is. That's where the supernatural is. That's where all the supernatural abilities that we have, that's where it's at. And see, right now, the church is living in a state as to where we're just hearing and we're enjoying and we're feeling and we're touching. We're touching that word, you know. We can pick up the Bible. We can pick up an iPhone. We can pick up a pad, a tablet, and there's a word instantly right there. How many know touching that is not going to help us? Seeing that is not going to help us. Speaking that is not going to help us. We're going to have to do the word. The Bible said we have to do the word. And it says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sended his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he redeemed sin in the flesh. God redeemed us from that. He brought us back from sin. We was taken into sin by Adam and Eve, and Jesus brought us out of sin. He brought us on out, the perfect Lamb of God. You know, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. See, we have to fulfill the righteousness of the law. It's got to be fulfilled in us. Who walk not after flesh, not after this flesh, but after the Spirit. See, we got to stop walking as mere men in the flesh. We have to become supernatural walkers and livers. We have to live in a supernatural state, in a supernatural atmosphere. We have to live in the Spirit, you know. For we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
died to save man. The teacher.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Read them.
Chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For just a little while, I won't speak from the subject, no fear lives here. No fear lives here. If you're not too scared this morning, would you look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, no fear lives here. And even right now, if that's not true, we're speaking it by faith, that hopefully as we finish this message, the reality of what you've spoken will become that same manifested truth. No fear lives here. Paul writes to Timothy, and he's expressing many things concerning the gospel, his history, his genealogy, his pedigree, etc. But more than those things that he has shared with him is the fact that God has given to him something as a young man that falls within the realm of the power of God, of the call of God, of the anointing and the commission of God upon his life, which thus sanctifies him and sets him apart from other young men who don't have that call upon their lives. And Paul wants to make sure that Timothy understands what God is saying to him in particular, as God is saying to all believers, all who are true Christians, what God himself wants us to know, especially concerning this particular word. We use the subject, no fear lives here. It is a statement made by many in the world concerning different events where they have removed fear from their lives to accomplish great feats or to do great exploits. And so there is the saying, no fear lives here. In other words, whatever it has taken to exercise the fear out of their lives to accomplish whatever it is they have accomplished or are seeking to accomplish, they've already taken care of the issue of fear. Now, whether or not they succeed or not is another level, but fear is so powerful it can keep you from even attempting to win or attempting to try or attempting to put your best foot forward. So one of the things I wanted to do in light of so many believers having so much evil to face, how much drudgery and how much of the things that are ungodly and unlike God in this world, especially our young people, our children, etc., who deal with bullying, and so many of our people who are fearful of speaking their minds for the Lord and standing up as a witness and one who has witnessed the goodness of God but yet won't open their mouths and share it with others. This message is for everybody. I mean, wherever you fit in, get in, because I'm talking about you today. You should be able to say, no fear lives here, and mean it. Now listen to me. I'm not saying fear don't stop by. I ain't trying to be super holy and holier than thou, because there are instances of fear, but just like fear comes, we've got to process fear out. Fear should not be able to come in and take residence on the inside of us. There are things that happen and instantly fear would jump on us and hold on to us to try and overtake us, overpower us, to cause us to lose the reality of the fact that we are more than conquerors, that we are the victors, that the greater one lives on the inside of us, and we forget those things, and fear then has the ability to control us. But fear may stop in for a moment, but when you do recognize it, then it is your responsibility to get rid of it. So the Bible says, for God, who? For God hath not given unto us the spirit of fear. So, first of all, let's deal with the fact of spirit. The spirit. The spirit. I need you to recognize that spirits connect themselves with everything evil. There's a spirit of lying. There's a spirit of cheating. There's a spirit of gambling. There's a spirit of backbiting, a spirit of gossiping, a spirit of everything that's wrong is connected to a spirit. But where does those spirits come from? The father of lies, the father of gambling, the father of this, the father, Satan. All of it comes from Satan. Those are his imps, his children, his angels. So recognize, that's what I want you to do, where fear comes from. And that's important, because this is my first point. Young people, hold on to this. I want you to write this down, jot it down. People of God, I want you to remember this. The first thing you recognize is where fear comes from, and it comes from Satan. So if it comes from Satan, then you know that it don't belong to you. Y'all not hearing me. Anything the devil has does not belong to you in terms of what comes from him. I'm not talking about what he's taken from you. I'm talking about what emanates from him. All of the stuff that comes from Satan belongs to him and his imps, his angels, his children, his people, not the people of God. So the first thing you need to do is recognize. Somebody say recognize. Listen, if you recognize where fear comes from, now you have a responsibility to do part two. First one is recognizing that fear doesn't come from God. So if fear doesn't come from God, maybe we ought to back up a moment and look at what the word fear means in this context. This word fear literally means timidity, somebody who is timid and without confidence and or cowardice. That is the literal definition of this word, fear, here in this context. It's timidity, so timid that they won't stand up, speak up, or say whatever it is that God has given them the ability to say it. Or no. Secondly, they're cowardice. They have a cowardice spirit. Listen, it literally means that you are too afraid to open your mouth or to take a stand or to be willing to fight for what is right. You'd rather be stomped on, walked on. You'd rather be done wrong than to stand up for what is right. Listen, and then lastly, you lack confidence. Confidence to know that God has said what he means and he means what he said. If you are a true child of God, then you need to know God is watching over you and protecting you and has the power to keep you. Listen, it doesn't mean that you won't have issues. You won't have challenges. Folk won't come against you. But here's what the end result means, that in the end, you win. I keep going back to my childhood days, like Sister Bowman talked about in her introduction. When I was small and I used to enjoy watching Popeye, Brutus was 3 to 4 times larger than Popeye. And man, Popeye would take some punishment from Brutus. Man, but before it was over with, I don't care how badly Brutus had beaten Popeye, Popeye did not give up. And then I heard the music, and that was like Rocky music to me. It didn't say da 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 da. It didn't do that. That wasn't that music that it played. But the music it played was he about to get that spinach. And even, listen, if he couldn't open up the can, Popeye had the power to suck it through that pipe. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I need to go back old school because some of the young folk don't know what I'm talking about. Somehow, he would find that spinach. And when he got that spinach, look out, Brutus. And he won in the end. So it doesn't mean you're not going to have some challenges and you're not going to be beat up and even be down. But in the end, you're going to win the round. You're going to win the race. You're going to win the battle. Now, so that means, one, recognize where fear comes from. It's those who are so timid, those who are so cowardice, those who are filled with cowardice, those who are filled with lack of confidence, are those who have this ungodly fear. You can be a child, you can be a teen, you can be a young adult, you can be an older adult. If you are a believer, you need to know this kind of fear should not live in the temple of God. This is not the reverential fear that's spoken of God, that fear of the one who can destroy the body and the soul in hell. That's the fear we have of God. The only one deserving of that kind of fear. This is not the fear here. So we recognize and we reject this kind of fear. Say, recognize fear, and reject fear. One more time. Recognize fear, and reject fear. One more for the last one. Recognize fear, and reject fear. That's your responsibility. That's your responsibility. God, for God, hath not given you the spirit of fear. So you've got to recognize where it came from. And you recognize it came from Satan. If it came from Satan, it doesn't belong to you. If it doesn't belong to you, reject it. Dismiss it. You say, I can't have this in my life. I'm getting rid of this.
Because do you know fear works underneath the skin, works in the mind. Fear can do more damage than a bullet can. Fear can cause you to see what isn't there, feel what isn't there, expect what isn't going to happen. Fear can make you do to yourself what fear itself can't do. That's the power of fear. You yourself can cause yourself to have a breakdown because of fear. Because of fear. How many times have you been afraid to go to the doctor, been afraid to go to the dentist, been afraid of this, that, and the other, and you found out when you got there and they did what they had to do, it wasn't that bad. But fear had you so paralyzed, thinking that you were about to meet your maker today. Oh, pray for me. I got a doctor's appointment next week. Oh, Lord. I don't know what they're going to do to me at that doctor's appointment. Lord, I gotta take an MRI. What is an MRI? I'm so scared to get in that tube. I think I'm Mr. Spock. You don't feel nothing when you're taking the MRI but fear. I'm claustrophobic. That's fear. Another name for it. You've got to get rid of it. Recognize where it comes from. Do you know how many of us today in this place have missed that blessing, missed that breakthrough, missed what God had for them in a timable way because of fear? Do you know you might have missed Mr. Right or Mrs. Right because you were too fearful to open your mouth at the right time? So you got hooked up with Mr. Wrong and Mrs. Right because they wasn't afraid, because, you know, fear loves company, just like misery. So you got two miserable folk together, two fearful folk together. You know, no, no. Think about the opportunities that God places before us that we miss out on because of fear. Think about the promotions we miss because of fear. Think about the things we've not accomplished because we've been too fearful to attempt them. Think about the businesses God has given you, but you're too fearful to start. I could keep on going, but I see fear is next to you. So right now, you ain't saying nothing. But fear should not live in here. It may meet you, it may greet you, but when you recognize what it is, you need to dismiss it. Here's another thing you need to know. The longer you let fear stay, the stronger fear gets. Because the longer fear resides on the inside of you, the longer fear and the more fear discovers about you. And the more fear discovers about you, the stronger hold fear has on you. Amen. Are y'all listening to me?
Yeah.
So recognize fear and do what? Reject. Young people, recognize fear and do what?
Reject.
Amen. Recognize fear, reject it. Now let's move on to what God has given us. Power. Power. This word comes from the Greek word dunamis, which is the word that comes from dynamo. And many say dynamite, but dynamite does not compare to dynamo. You see, dynamite is a one happening experience. A dynamo is one that continues to inherently gets better and stronger the more you use it. So dunamis is an inherent power that God places on the inside of you that gets stronger the more you use it. Are y'all listening to me?
God gave you something that is miracle working power. It is the ability to accomplish things that the flesh cannot accomplish of itself. The word dunamis power here is the word that God gives for the believer to know there are things that God has placed within your ability to accomplish if you trust and believe him. So the first thing you've got to recognize is God gives you power. He doesn't give you fear. He gives you power to accomplish everything you need to accomplish. Did you hear what I just said? Power to accomplish everything you need to accomplish. So you, number one, if you get with fear, fear cancels out power. It cancels out power because it paralyzes you. But once you take fear out of the way, then you recognize God has given you a gift. The first gift is power. Power to accomplish, power to over-accomplish and to achieve, power to overcome, power to do that which the flesh cannot do of itself. It is divine power in a human body. In other words, you've got God power on the inside of you. And when you recognize this is a gift from God, this is for the believers only. It's not for the folk in the world. So if it's not for the people in the world and it's a gift for the believers, then that means because you are a part of the family of God, that comes from one who loves you to give you a gift like that. And so the word love is agape love, which is the God kind of love. It is the beginning of all loves, agape love, God's love. The love that God had for us so much that he gave his son. And his son gave his life. And because of what Jesus did at Calvary, on the cross, that no other person could do for themselves or anybody else, Jesus paid it all. He gave us the kind of love that looks beyond our faults. There's some of us who can't even look beyond our own faults. There's some of us who can't even forgive ourselves of some things that we've done or had not done. But God's love does. He loves us, listen, with an everlasting love. A love that won't leave us. A love that won't let us alone. A love that won't cut us short. A love that won't leave us to the place where we find ourselves by ourselves. He promised never to leave us alone. That's some kind of love. When you're right and when you're wrong. When you're up and when you're down. When you're in and when you're out. When folk love you and when folk hate you. He loves you always. Never a fluctuating love. It's constant. It's continual. It's consistent. How many of you can use love like that? Don't you get tired of folk loving you when they want to love you and when they get mad with you? They ain't got nothing to do with you. Don't talk to you. Don't speak to you. Act up with you. Act funny with you. But God doesn't act that way with us. That's why no matter what we've done, we can come to him and ask his forgiveness. He loves us enough because he knows us. He made us. And there's nothing about us that God would turn his back on except the fact that we did not want his love. And so that's the kind of love he's given us. So man, it doesn't matter. Woman, it doesn't matter. Girl, boy, it doesn't matter who loves you or who doesn't love you. God loves you.
Don't care how you look. Don't care how you sound. Don't care what your color is. Don't care what your makeup, your background.